victim is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
It is February the 21st, 2017. My name is S.M. Gibson, and you are listening to Anti-Media Radio, coming to you live from beautiful San Diego, California this evening. As with every other show, the news cycle never stops, and there is a lot that's happened since the last time we spoke. The big news right now, before we get on to all the kind of the political stuff, is tomorrow at 2 p.m. North Dakota time, Standing Rock, the water protectors and the protesters are expected to be evicted from their camp. Reports are right now that there's about 300 people in the camp. We shall see what actually goes down. Of course, there's rumors that they will start hauling people out before 2 p.m. For, I guess, strategic reasons, which does make sense if that's what they're trying to do. Of course, the goal here is for that not to happen. This is what, you know, it's going to take people around the internet. This is why we have something like the internet, that everybody can speak up at once. Even if they're not able to be on the ground, tomorrow is a day of action for everybody. And tomorrow, you know, it's something as simple as a post on Twitter or Facebook that you are against this. When the message is sent with different things periodically throughout the years, it does seem that somebody out there listens. We saw it with Standing Rock the first time, except, you know, we also had a bunch of veterans with guns show up there as well. But we're going to get into that and more tonight. I'm going to go ahead and bring on, first off, the man sitting directly next to me, the editor-in-chief of the antimedia.org, Mr. Nick Burnaby. Nick.
Thanks for having me on, man. Looking forward to the show tonight. Hopefully everybody's had a chance to look over the new website and sign up for an account and help us create the news. We still need more people submitting articles under the My News section so we know what you guys want us to cover. And like we approve, you post the links, we check them, we approve them. You can put links onto the front page of the Anti-Media now. So like we're really trying to get people over there to post the links so we know what's going on, let other people know what should be, you know, what the news should be. And, you know, we're just – us here at the Anti-Media, we're just a small team of people. We need everyone out there to help us create and find the news. I mean, that's what this is all about, is crowdsourcing the news at this point. We need your help. We need your upvotes and your downvotes to tell us what's important, what isn't. I'm here. I'm ready to talk about some news. Man, this week has been nuts so far, and it's only Tuesday. It's been absolutely insane so far, and it's only Tuesday. And tomorrow it's about to go down at Standing Rock. I'm going to be keeping a close tab on that. keep an eye on theantimedia.org. I'll be writing an article about that. I'm starting it tonight. I'm going to be updating it tomorrow morning to see, you know, the latest updates of what's going on. We're going to try to have live video of what's happening there. Regardless of where you stand on that issue, Native American people should not be getting brutalized by the law enforcement officers in the United States. We all know that there's a huge issue here in this country with out-of-control police and out-of-control law enforcement. Are Native American people who have been through the most messed up shit out of anybody else here should not be having pipeline run through their land if they don't want it. If they wanted it, fine. If they don't want it, it should not be done. And we should not be brutalizing those people who are peacefully trying to stand in the way of that pipeline.
We shall see what happens tomorrow. Right now, I want to bring on our regular co-host as well, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, what is up?
What's up, guys? What's going on out there in sunny San Diego, California? It's actually very rainy, but very warm here tonight.
It got sunny today, man. It's been kind of
Yeah, you can just shut up now. I don't want to hear it. It has rained all day here today. I mean, from sun up to sundown.
You know, up in Northern California right now, they're getting record rainfall. There's like several different levees and dams that are getting ready to give way because they're getting too much rain up there.
I feel like it's probably sunshining in Alabama until the news broke that supposedly Tommy Tuberville is thinking about running for governor.
That guy. He is currently the coach, head coach at University of Cincinnati, head football coach, was the head football coach for some other team here in Alabama that the name escapes me now.
I can't remember who it was. And did also as well, interesting news from Birmingham that apparently I'm missing is the Mark Zuckerberg tour, who
you're not missing anything.
Yeah, apparently he ate dinner last night, like right down the street from my house, and met with Nick Saban yesterday. Odd.
Whoopie damn day.
Yeah, pretty much. So anyways, enough with all that nonsense.
Yeah, I stayed so far away from that it wasn't even funny. I would definitely love to sit down with Nick Saban one time, but Zuckerberg, he's not my favorite. I'm ready for a new Facebook, man. Well, whatever happened to MySpace? Can we reopen our MySpace accounts?
Seriously, man, Mark Zuckerberg needs to come up with sorry, never mind.
I don't know about MySpace, but I can tell you right now that if you go to the My News section
.org,
you can submit an article, you can have conversations, you can up and down vote those articles.
Help us create the damn news, dude.
It's not even help us. That's not what this is about. This is about everybody. This is about everybody working together. If you see a news story, here's the problem. I want to go ahead and get into this, but we get into everything, and we can talk about, you know what, Shannon? We can talk about whatever you want tonight, but I want to say this first. The news is dead. I talk about it a lot that we live in this post-satire era. That's exactly what it is. We live in a post-satire culture. The news is non-existent because people aren't there looking for news. And news is someone saying, here's some facts, here's a thing that happened. But that doesn't happen now because we have multi-sources telling you a version of events. And people aren't out there looking for facts. They're not out there looking for news. They're out there looking for confirmation bias. And if they see a story that is 1,000% true and is all facts, they're going to go, that's not true, that's fake news. There is no more news. It's just everybody confirming what they already believe. If, say, for instance, you're a Donald Trump fan, you can go out there and surround yourself with 3 or 4 sources, and you could have your worldview painted for you that, okay, Donald Trump's doing this, 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 and I like it. And if you're out there and you hate Donald Trump with a passion, you can, again, surround yourself with a few sources, and everything he does is evil and he's the devil. So this is what we're trying to do here at Anti-Media, but it's not even that. It's not even about what we're doing or the website or this show. This is about everybody waking up to reality and getting over their bias, and because it's how their emotions make them feel, then it's automatically true or they discount it as false. People need to grow up. They need to wake up to reality, but, you know.
The world isn't what you think it is, I think, is what you're trying to say.
On either side. It's we have to get over this. It makes me feel good. It supports what I already believe, so it must be true.
And in that way, it kind of just boils it down to a matter of convenience for a lot of people. That they really want to go to as few sources as possible to confirm what they heard on a Facebook post or a friend say at a water cooler at work.
To as few sources as possible, but the problem.
That's kind of where I think, and I don't know, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's kind of something that I've observed recently about a lot of people that have a strong view about one thing or the other, that they've only like looked into it for two or three sources. And that's, you know, that's becoming a lot more commonplace when I have different conversations with people. Regardless of whatever subject it may happen to be, particularly if it's a subject that they feel strongly about. And these days, I don't feel too strongly about much of anything because there's just so much to feel about these days, you know? Well, so now, and people are kind of getting numb to it a little bit. So, you know, I think a lot of what these people pairing off into the teams of either a Democrat or a Republican or left or right or this or that, it really does boil down to a matter of convenience. People don't really want to stretch outside of their little comfort zone and actually, you know, put themselves on the same level of, let's say, an Iraqi immigrant or somebody who's had to sneak across the border to try to find a job, or somebody that lives in their neighborhood that's in the poorhouse down the street that's got the kids all running around barefoot with dirty diapers. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. I mean, you know, I still think it's everybody just trying to kind of reiterate what they already believe. And that's why nobody's seeking out facts or seeking out the news. This whole Milo thing is a perfect example of all of that, because there is a video of him saying some very unseemly things, and yet people make excuses for it. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, there is no question in my mind that it was a political hit on him, no doubt, because the statements were originally said, what, like a year ago, a year and a half ago. No doubt it was a political hit.
Before we get too far into this, we need to at least issue a disclaimer. Both of us have actually spoke in glowing terms at times about Milo over, I guess, what, the past couple of years now.
I'm one of the very few people that can say that I was retweeted by Milo Yiannopoulos and Anthony Weiner, because we all know I'm out there looking for a wrestling character to, you know, that's basically what it is to me. Both of those guys are clearly what they are, and it's, you know, they are what they are, but they're characters.
We don't follow his ideologies at all, but the guy is pretty hilarious, and he gives a very smart point of commentary on his side.
I get that too. I don't argue with, you know, people over it, but you know, it's entertainment, because that's, you know, like I said, I think it's over. I think that people need to get informed. They need to share the information with the people around them, their loved ones. People need to stop fighting and bickering over every stupid thing in the world. They need to open their eyes. They need to. And look, here's the problem, too, over the whole Milo crap, is you get the left that's ready to pounce on him, which is fair enough. Like, what he said was outrageous. Fair enough to it. But guess what? They don't say anything when it's leaning down. We have to know what's right or wrong. And now you have the moron conservatives defending Milo because the left did it first. And
I saw some of that today. I was like, wait. So because Democrats defended, what's her name? Laura Dunham?
Lena Dunham, the writer for Girls, writer, actress.
Okay, and here's the funny thing. I saw a meme, like, talking shit about how bad Lena Dunham, how horrible she was. And then on the same exact meme, it's like, but Milo, poor Milo, he got his book banned and he got blah, blah, blah. And it's like, It's like, wait, you guys are acknowledging how bad the left has been for making excuses for Lena Dunham, And at the same, on the same exact meme, you're making an excuse for Milo Yiannopoulos. I'm like, oh, wow, dude, this is mind-blowing. You know, I've found that people have found their teams, and they're going to defend their team no matter how
that's
hard
it. That goes back to the confirmation bias.
And it goes back to, like, the goddamn Patriot fans. And when they got when they got caught cheating in the playoffs last year or whatever it was, you know, it's like, oh, well, if you're a Patriot fan, you find out your team is cheating. You say, no, my team is not cheating. I don't give a shit if you have evidence. My team is not cheating. And then everyone else around the country knows that your team is cheating, but you refuse to believe it. That's the same exact thing happened with Milo. The guy's fans refused to believe that he was making excuses for older men being predatory against young boys. And they pretend that he never said it. They pretend like the video doesn't exist. I'll post the video and a link if I'm arguing with somebody. They won't even listen to it. They literally just won't listen
to it.
That's
what they ever
You're taking that out of context. He didn't really say that. I mean, you got to listen to the whole conversation. Well, if you do listen to the whole conversation and you listen to it again and listen to it again, he says the same exact thing every single time. And what he said, I'm sorry, is indefensible. It is.
No, there's no question. And it's an odd sort of thing because there's no question. It was a hit job from the right, ironically enough. It was the mainline mainstream Republicans, the whole McCain.
Donald J. Trump needs to take note. Just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, trust me. Well, the difference is Donald Trump knows how to deflect stuff, and Milo's a young man in comparison. And they can say the most horrendous foul thing you can have Donald Trump on tape saying it. First off, Donald Trump never has said anything as far as taking it to that level. Maybe.
Oh, no.
But with that said, look, there's Jeffrey Epstein connections there. Does that make a man guilty of something? No, it doesn't. But that's just not somebody you want to keep company with. I'll say that. But whatever, that's never here nor there. We're kind of going down a side road. It's probably pointless to go down.
But, you know, tonight, I think you bring up a good point, man, is that it's okay to be on a team. It's okay to have your favorite team, and it's okay to cheer for them. But at the same time,
not if it keeps you from reality.
At the same time, you cannot blindly follow that team off a cliff, because that's how really, really bad things happen. That's how the Nazis happened. That's how shit happened. Now, I'm not comparing Milo to the Nazis, and I don't think the alt-right is nearly as dangerous as the Nazis were yet. But by unquestioning your leaders and not questioning your own team or your own party, that's what leads to really, really bad situations.
Hold on,
let me finish this point. If you love your party, criticize your party, question your party, make it better, keep them honest, don't make excuses for them. If you really care that much about the messaging that Milo was trying to put forward, you gotta keep these people honest. You can't pretend like they're perfect or like they're not flawed. I mean, this is it's people who say, oh, you're unpatriotic because you question your government or because you questioned Obama or now because you question Trump. It's like, it's not that I'm unpatriotic. I want this to be a better place for people. I am a goddamn patriot.
Well, look, everybody right now is really, really, really up in arms about Trump and immigration. And, of course, it's mostly Obama supporters that are upset about it. For the most part, is what we're seeing on TV and CNN. We're not going to get into the whole how it affects people. We went into pretty good detail about that last night. For anybody that wants to go check out.
If you want to listen to immigration stuff, go to listen to last night's show. Really good show.
Yeah, last night's episode of Anti-Media Radio was really good on that topic. But everybody's really, really mad about Trump for immigration. First off, Trump didn't pass any of these laws. Guess what? These laws already existed. And there was a president before Trump, if I remember correctly, named Barack Obama. Everybody loved him. Did he do anything to change those laws? Nope, he didn't. In fact, what he did do is deport more people than any president in the history of the United States, right around 3 million people, and not one person said a word. Not one person cared then, but now it's because the guy on the other team's doing it. You're all upset about it. So guess what? This is what happens. This is the result when you're silent, when your team's in charge, because they're all doing the same stuff. People need to get it through their head that Barack Obama bombed at least 8 countries. 8. Bush bombed 4 that we know of. 8. and yet nobody said a word. That's an important statistic because no one questioned him on it in the public arena, really. Of course, there's pages like ours. There's people that you don't see on CNN that raise points about it constantly. But for the most part, it was either Barack Obama's terrible or Barack Obama's great. They didn't question him. And now you have Trump. Boo-hoo. This is what you get for being silent.
If you go out right now and you find a couple of conservatives and or a couple of Republicans and a couple of Democrats on the street, and you say, I want to ask you a question, Democrat. How many people did Obama deport? You know what they're going to tell you?
None.
Obama didn't deport anybody. If you ask a Republican, how many people did Obama deport? None. If you go ask an immigration activist how many people Obama deported, you know what they'll tell you? 2.5 million people.
Probably give you the exact number.
2.5 million people. So according to Democrats, Obama didn't deport anybody because Obama had a huge heart and he loves immigrants and he would never do anything horrible like that. According to Republicans, Obama was way too soft on immigration. He didn't deport anybody. He's open border. He just let the refugees flow in. But the truth of the matter is, Obama deported more people than any other president in history. Trump has deported a tiny fraction of the number that that Obama deported. But if you ask Republicans about Trump, oh yeah, Trump is deporting a bunch of people. He's doing the right thing. He's securing our borders. He's doing it. You know, he's doing a great job. He loves America. If you ask a Democrat, oh my God, Trump has deported so many people. Obama would have never done this. Oh my God, it's like, dude, these people are not living in reality. No. They are living in their own micro version of reality that has nothing to do with real life. It has nothing to do with real people. They live in a fabricated, made-up version of reality. They're all living in cartoon land. All these people, if you're a Republican that's supporting Donald Trump and if you're a Democrat that wishes Hillary Clinton was president, I'm sorry, but you're living in a cartoon. You're living in a fictional place.
Especially you're not living in reality. The Hillary people, but with Trump, because that is our reality right now, right, left, center, everybody in between. He's a president, whether we like it or not. And the best we can do with that is hold him accountable because he is there. He does have the bully bullpen,
as they call
it.
Well, you can hold Trump accountable if you hate America only, right? Like, you have to hate America to hold Trump accountable. That's what his followers are saying now, dude. And that's what's so wrong. That's what's so wrong, dude. Like, you don't...
But then you get the other side. Listen, and here's the thing about it. You get the other side. It doesn't... I promise you, Donald Trump could come out tomorrow and do something fantastic. And everybody would go... Anything about Trump, if you like Trump, they say you're Nazi. Yeah, that's going to help out people really well. You're basically calling 25% of the United States Nazis. So everybody needs to get over this. You're a monster if you hate him. You're a monster if you like him. We're all people. And you're a moron if you think differently.
There it is.
I mean, guess what? Not everybody that likes Trump's a Nazi, and not everybody that hates him is some horrible commie, but
or Hillary supporter.
Well, those people are terrible. I'm just kidding.
Hillary supporters need to get a free helicopter ride.
Hillary supporters are very naive, very very naive. Much more so than Trump. And I said that. Bernie supporters not so much. I think Bernie supporters and Trump supporters at least acknowledged there was a problem. Now the solutions to those problems, I disagree with kind of both sides on that one, but at least both of those acknowledged there was a problem. People supported
Hillary.
To be fair,
Bernie supporters are only able to save face because their guy lost. Now I agree with you. Bernie supporters and Trump supporters were fairly similar demographics. Except, you know,
they at least acknowledged there was a problem.
Of course, Trump supporters trended older and stuff, but you know, I think there were similar demographics between Trump and Sanders, and that's why Clinton lost. But here's the thing: Sanders supporters are able to save face because their guy lost, and they get to sit back like I did in 2012 when Ron Paul didn't win the election. Say, well, don't blame me. I voted for Ron Paul. My hands are up in the air. I can't, you know, don't blame me for Obama shit, and don't blame me because Romney lost. On the other hand, with the Trump supporters, man, and I can't speak for all of them, but a lot of them that are my friends in real life are now become Trump apologists. They're not Trump supporters anymore.
That's all
they're
Obama.
Trump
apologists. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Obama's yeah. You're absolutely right.
Exactly.
That's with any politics.
Yes, and that's a huge. That's the big problem here, right? Is that just because your guy wins doesn't mean that he can do no wrong. And, like, that's the problem, man. Like, how many people – Obama came into office in 2008 on this awesome movement of anti-war, progressive, equality, freedom, civil liberties. You know, we're going to end the Patriot Act. We're going to stop all these wars. We're going to make everything right. We're not going to let Wall Street run roughshod over everybody. And Obama comes into office. All of his supporters go to sleep for 8 years, and Obama basically became Bush 2.0.
That's it.
And so now we got Bush. Now we got Bush 3.0 in Trump. And now instead of his supporters who were for 8 years critical of Obama, instead of them holding the government accountable for another 8 years, it's like, well, our guy's in office. Let's go to bed. Let's pretend he doesn't do anything wrong. Let's make excuses anytime he fucks up. Let's just pretend he's not doing anything bad. And, you know, let's check back in 4 years and see how it goes.
Guess what? None of these people are perfect. When it comes to certain foreign policy things, as much as I criticize Obama, I think that the powers that be, the money people, you want to call them, the deep state, as they call them now, that's the popular term going around about it. But I think Barack Obama probably helped drag his feet on some of that, and the wars could have been a lot worse. And I'll say it like this. There was an interview with Rand Paul, and he was talking about Trump and the crazy stuff he says. And he said, look, yeah, he says some pretty nutty stuff, basically paraphrasing. He said, but what about the legislation? What legislation has been done outside of the stuff he says? He says, when there's legislation for all this stuff, then you're going to see me in the front of the line protesting him. But until then, it's all just a guy saying some nonsense. Now, the reason that we have what we have is because people were silent on Obama's legislation. Obama gave Trump half his power. Trump doesn't have to sign any legislation for this crap because it exists already because of Barack Obama and George Bush, too. The past 16 years have put so much authority into the executive branch, giving them so much power. Trump doesn't have to seize power. That power is there. It's been given to them. And
at this point, every new president is like a coup.
Right.
Every time we elect a new president, because of 9/11 and what they gave to Bush and what Obama basically made into law, every new president is now like a new coup. And that guy gets to come in as almost like a king.
But Trump, I'll say this for Trump. I think there's so many people on the inside opposing him. I mean, he's definitely – I wish – but here's the thing. Why couldn't Obama be held to this standard? Why couldn't he be opposed like this? Trump's just a weird anomaly. There's – for me, looking at Trump, I see Trump and there's – It's the stuff that – these personal things he says that I completely disagree with and I think he's wrong about. And then you see, but who's opposing him? And it's so – like, just because they're the enemy of your enemy doesn't make them your friend, basically. Donald Trump has his own set of issues and his own problems. But the powers that – at least from the way I see it, the powers that have been running this country into the ground, the intelligence agencies and so on and so forth – seem to be pretty opposed to him at this point. That's why this is a complete and utter wreck. And that's what we're dealing with. Because just, again, you can't say the enemy of your enemy is your friend. It's certainly not in this case. Because Donald Trump has a lot of negative things to him, a lot. But he's got the right enemies, apparently. But he's got a lot of enemies. So,
well, it's so early right now that they're just sorting him out, right? And that's what's going on with, like, getting rid of Flynn, and the deep state is putting him in check right now.
Well, we saw who he replaced him with. Shannon, I know you were kind of keeping up with this a little bit earlier about who it looks like, what we got coming in now. War. It looks like.
Yeah, lots and lots and lots of war. General H.R. McMaster. He's not really happy with the folks over at Russia and their policies and procedures. Also, too, there's one other thing that that kind of concerned me a little bit. Iran is kicking off some rocket artillery exercises this week. It's kind of up and down. But this has been reported 15 hours ago. AP Wire. That 62-mile range. Now, this is much more scaled down than the ballistic missile test that kind of scored them their little sanctions that we gave them there. But at the same time, it's getting really, really, really loud over in that region. And this new national security advisor has already been on record as unfavorable towards Russia and the situation in Crimea. So, you know, I don't know. I think the American public's been played in that regard, because a lot of the fear of electing Hillary Clinton as a president, well, you know, that had a lot to do with the fact that she might lead us into World War III with Russia.
What seems real quick, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but it seems like that this guy, like a lot of the stuff that Trump has said, especially with his foreign policy, where Flynn was more along the same lines as Trump and kind of agreed with a lot of that stuff that he had said, this guy's like the polar opposite. And then, of course, they were floating John Bolton, who is another polar opposite. You know, we're looking at more of a McCain type of thing here than we are what Trump said.
Yeah, and we're talking about career military men, so we kind of already know what we're getting ourselves into right out of the gate. This is, again, more of the machine is making sure that Trump is going to follow the narrative one way or the other, even with all these wild, crazy ideas that he has. The narrative that was already set before he came into office is still going to be played out.
Well, Russia's the big one, and he's definitely resisted that one every step of the way. I'll give him that. I mean, he personally has resisted the Russia narrative up to this point. Everybody around him, the entire country, is just, but Russia did it, it was Russia. They hacked that woman. Did you see what they did to that poor woman? Those poor Democrats, they hacked them. There's still zero evidence of that. Still, none. There's no evidence of it. I hate to break that to people. I hate to rain on everybody's parade. If there's evidence of it, show me. I'd like to see
it. And look, if there is evidence of it, and this is the thing that I've always taken exception with that whole scandal there, is that if there is evidence that Russia did hack those servers, they got all the emails and they put them out on display for the American public to make up their own mind about what they've seen in black and white that is true, that is actual, and WikiLeaks has still defended it to this day, that those are all originated from the source that they've reported.
Those emails are real.
Yes. So, again, those are real emails, information from our politicians that our taxpayer dollars pay for, to do the job that we put them in office to do. So, and again, if you go and work at, let's say, Walmart, how many cameras are trained on you throughout the course of your day? Every single move you make, all of your coworkers have to spy on you. I mean, if you went and grabbed a candy bar off the shelf, they'd have you fired before the end of the day. And I don't know where our politicians get off thinking that they're above the scrutiny, the same scrutiny that we give somebody that makes $6 an hour, but particularly in this day and age, in 2017, with the technology that we have now.
We are starting to see constituents show up at, now that Congress has been on a break, we see constituents starting to show up to where their offices are at in their hometowns and causing a stir.
Yeah, that's pretty encouraging, because everybody wants to vote for president, but I'll tell you, the the real power, a lot of the real power still lies in the Congress. Of course, you got the Congress, you got the deep state, you got the executive, and you got the courts. But the Congress still has a good amount of power. And that is one thing that I've found encouraging, man, is that a bunch of people are showing up at these congressional recess town halls and stuff like that, and they're giving their lawmakers hell. There's hell to pay for these guys if they're not doing what their constituents want them to do, because that's what Congress is supposed to be about. These people are elected, especially the people in the House. I mean, they're elected by like local districts, and they're supposed to get up there and voice the opinion of the district, of the people that voted for them. And so for the most part, people vote. They don't even really vote for Congress. They show up to vote for the president, and they check a box because the guy's party is the same party as theirs. I mean, what is Congress's approval rating? 9%. Their re-election rating is 90%. So for the most part, I mean, throughout recent history, we've seen Congress basically get away with doing whatever the hell it wants. Every 4 years, all it has to do is show up and say, hey, I'm a Republican, vote for me, and then their constituents vote for them, or hey, I'm a Democrat, whatever. But now people are starting to show up and are starting to say, raise hell at these town hall meetings, and they're starting to say, look, you guys need to start listening to what we have to say. And I want to see how that's going to have an effect, man. Are the Congress people going to come back after recess? Are they going to be, you know, with a newfound respect for their electorate, and they're going to be,
maybe.
What people are saying?
The problem is I don't think people know what they want. I don't think people know what they have, and I don't think people know where they're going. And I think that's a huge problem. And that's why I think information is so key and so important, because, again, you can ask somebody what their opinion is about a certain politician, and they're going to tell you based on their preference. They're not going to tell you based on actual fact. So while it's good that there's people protesting, again, we saw it with the first weekend of Trump in office and the Women's March. It was about our preference and our opinion. It goes back to they're having a march on April 15th to protest Donald Trump to release his tax returns. It's like, so you're going out in the street, you're going to get all dressed up, you're going to make some signs, you're going to go through all the trouble of doing it, and it's going to be about him releasing his taxes. It's not going to be about the tax system in general. It's not going to be what they've been doing with our tax dollars way before Donald Trump ever thought about running for president. It's not going to be about the system. It's not going to be about me changing anything that has to do with the people. It's going to be about him releasing his tax returns. Congratulations and good luck with that, because that's the dumbest thing
I have
ever heard.
Waste your time marching through the streets.
Better yet, why don't we all go out and march against having to actually pay our taxes on April 15th? I like that idea a whole lot better.
Literally anything else.
If you want to protest taxes, don't pay them. There's something to think about. Don't pay your taxes if you're
sick. Oh, but that's illegal, though. We'll go to jail. No. Don't be telling people that.
You put in jail, that gets violent.
Yeah, we learned what happened with Eric Garner when he didn't pay his tax. He got choked to death on the streets of New York City.
Yeah, they're
absolutely
voluntary taxes, right?
That's when violence happens. All right, I want to throw this title out there. I'm gonna throw this football up in the air.
Wait, before you do it, I wanted to make one point quickly on the deep state and their handling of Trump and how it differs from Obama. Now, here's what I think. Now, you talked about how they're giving Trump a hard time up there, and they're like leaking the conversations. They brought down his national security advisor, Flynn. There's no denying that they're at odds with Trump, right? Here's my thought on it, just real quick. Obama went into office, I think, under a similar impression that Trump had, that he was going to go in there and do something good. Obama got sorted out privately. Obama got sorted out behind the scenes.
Oh, they're sorting Trump out in front of everybody.
Exactly. They sorted out Obama behind the scenes privately, and then Obama, he resurfaces out a couple weeks later. Obama's a whole new guy. We're going to keep bombing Afghanistan. We're going to send more troops into Afghanistan. We're going to keep Iraq going.
In fairness, when he ran in 2012, he did say he was going to stop all that again. And what was his plan? We're going to get out of Afghanistan in like 9 months. I promise you, 9 months we'll be out. We're still there. Over 4 years.
Now with Trump, he's got a much bigger ego and stuff. So I think Trump went into office and he's like, no, I'm not going to listen to you guys. Hell no. I'm Trump. I could do whatever the hell I want.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, all right, bro. We're going to sort you out publicly then, if you don't want to get sorted out privately.
We're going to do this one way or another.
So we're going to start just leaking every single conversation you have with anybody that we feel like doing it until you start listening to us. And that, you know, we're getting to the point now where Trump, I think you could see the frustration on him in his last press conference. I give it a couple more weeks while Trump stands up to the deep state. I give it a few more weeks, maybe a couple months. Sooner or later, you got to let it budge. They let it budge you or they end you. Unfortunately. And so, you know, now I think the reason why Trump is being able to resist them a little more is he's more independently powerful than Obama was. Obama was kind of a nobody. Obama was kind of a nobody that was completely dependent on his party. Trump was not dependent on the party. He's independently powerful. He's got an independently standing movement, not based on the Republican Party. It's completely independent of it. So Trump is a much bigger threat to the powers that be than Obama was, and he's got a much bigger ego. I feel like he's a lot more stubborn. But he sooner or later you get sorted out. And with Trump, obviously it's being done publicly. And they're trying to embarrass him at every step of the way until he starts getting in line. And then once he gets in line, I'm telling you, you're going to see the press take a U-turn. They're going to be hands-off with Trump. They're going to stop giving him a hard time. They're going to let him do some of the things that he wants to do.
No, that's not true. They did look, and I've said this before, and you know I talked about this at length leading up to the election, how many times I compared Trump running as a candidate to Reagan as a candidate. But I now say that now that Trump is president and he's not a candidate anymore, he's not Reagan anymore, he's Richard Nixon. And the press hounded. This is why it's important to learn your history, people, and not just accept what they tell you on TV. That's how one reason you could predict that Trump was going to win, because it's happened before in history, these movements. Also, on the flip side, though, they didn't leave Nixon alone until the day he left office. And then, look, they hounded him and hounded him and hounded him. For right reasons or wrong reasons, whatever. And we're going to see the exact same thing with Trump. This is not going away. They're going to just beat him in the media senseless. It ain't going to stop.
To be fair, he did bring a lot of that on himself on the campaign trail.
Richard Nixon was a goon. But
the worst president of all time, maybe?
It's arguable who was the worst, Johnson or him. But they were right next to each other, so they didn't, you know. What did we hear today? Lyndon Johnson. Oh, it was
at Milo's press conference. Someone said Lyndon B. Johnson was the best president of all time. I about shit myself.
I'm sure there's a lot of some Vietnam. That's all I'm going to say. That's literally all I'm going to say about that. Vietnam.
Yep.
If you think the guy that got us into Vietnam was the greatest president ever, good luck with your life.
Ridiculous.
All right. I'm throwing it. Here it goes. You ready, Shannon?
Do it.
City finds interracial couple after someone spray painted a racist slur on their home. If you're curious of what the racist slur is, it starts with the word N. You can figure it out from there. The government is fining these people because it's on their house.
Somebody went up. And because it's a black dude dating a white woman, went and
married,
wrote
civil
N-word on their garage door, and the government comes along and says, "Hey, we're gonna fine you $100 because somebody wrote this on your door and you haven't cleaned it off yet." That is unbelievable.
$100 a day.
$100 a day, Shannon. I mean, dude, what do you make of this shit? This is crazy.
Well, you know what I make of that shit. And again, that right there is just a brilliant example on a very small, minuscule scale as to how much of our life that we put in the hands of these people. And so much so that even if you happen to live in a part of town that is incorporated by a city, and they have a law or a rule that they can point to, which just about nearly every municipality, city, state, federal, all the way up, has some sort of loophole to where every single thing is illegal, and there's a fine or a fee or jail, or if you do decide to opt out of all of those. What was the fellow's name you mentioned earlier, Eric Garner? Yeah.
Yeah, Garner.
Yeah. So if we just go ahead and pay this $100, we're good. Otherwise, well, they're just going to keep racking up the fines. And what will happen is, well, you know, and the casual observer will say, well, gee, you know, they could go ahead and just rack up the fines. How are they going to enforce that? Well, then what they do is they eventually go ahead and get a court order to take possession of the house because they refuse to pay the fines. Now, if they refuse to leave the house, what was that fellow's name you mentioned earlier? Eric Garner. Yeah. That's and again, a lot of people think I may be, you know, grasping at conclusions or just taking this thing to the nth level, but that's the level it can go to if they decide to go ahead and continue to not pay this fine. Well, and that right there is sick. That is absolutely disgusting. The reason that they haven't removed it from their house, and I'm kind of spoiling the story a little bit, is the fact that somebody came along, spray painted this on their house. They feel like the police that they paid their taxpayer money for are kind of dragging their feet as far as finding the perpetrator because they live in a predominantly white neighborhood. So they decided to leave it up as a pretty much a reminder to not only just the police there, but to their neighbors that one of the people in your neighborhood did this, that spray painted this on the side of my house. This
is in fairness, you don't know it's somebody in the neighborhood, you assume, but in fairness, you don't know that.
True, very true. That, I mean, he doesn't know it. The fellow that lives in the house doesn't know it, and the lady, of course, who's lived there since 1990. So it's not like they just moved into the neighborhood. They've been there a long time.
I'm going to predict they do not end up having to pay these fines. They've already had the NAACP out.
Yeah, it'll be a PR nightmare.
They're not. That's already happened. I'm going to predict they do not end up.
But it should have never got to that. It should have never got to that point in the first place. It should have
never got to that point to begin
with. Now, I'll tell you what, dude. Here's what blew my mind today. When SM Gibson posted this story idea into our journalist group, and one of our writers is like, you know, decided he was going to write about it, and I'm like, all right, cool, this is a very interesting story, very thought-provoking, it should stir up some conversation, and it came out, and I was thinking, I'm like, yeah, you know, with all these people, all these hardcore defenders of free speech standing up for Milo's right to talk about pedophiles and how cool they are, somebody's going to stand up for the free speech of these people who had someone write bad shit on their door, and now the government is coming down on them, fining them for it. I was like, you know what? People are going to talk about this story like all across the internet. They're going to stand up for the free speech of these people. This is ridiculous. The government is coming down on them.
Yeah, technically, these people have the right legally to have spray painted this on their house themselves and leave it.
And I'll tell you what happened. I posted a story yesterday critical of Milo, and I got 100 people defending him. I posted this story today talking about how these people have the government, mind you, the government coming down on them, which is an actual violation of free speech. Milo has not had his free speech violated at all. But these people are actually having their free speech violated, even though they didn't choose to put that writing on the wall. They chose to leave it up there. That is free speech. And the government is fining them for it, and they could go to jail if they don't wind up washing it off. That is a crackdown on free speech, and not a single one of these assholes who are out there defending Milo and his quote-unquote free speech bullshit are standing up for these people. Hypocrisy at its finest.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And again, this is to be found on both the left and the right and many, many, many different topics right now. And it goes back to what we were talking about at the very beginning of the show. It's not just about your team. And if you can actually find the gall and audacity because you really want your team to win and you want your team to, quote unquote, be in charge, that you'll go to any lengths and jump to any conclusions you can to try to defend inexcusable behavior and inexcusable language. And look, Milo said a lot of inflammatory stuff that both the left and the right can sit and poke about. One thing that we've taken exception to recently was the statements that he made. I can't remember which university right off the top of my head, where he gave out the number to the ICE hotline. And basically, you know, you need to kind of do your part and help the government. That right there was, I mean, that was the most status bootlicking thing I'd ever seen him do. And he's done quite a few status bootlicking things. That was pretty much, that's where I drew the line right there. And then this came along. It's like, okay, well, whatever.
Here's the thing that people don't understand, though. And I was, me and Nick were having this conversation a little bit earlier today, is that A, he's only famous because he's so incendiary. That's it. It's the only reason people know who he is. And B, he's only as famous as he is because they started burning stuff down and protested him. I promise you, if people had just been like, whatever to this guy, then we would not have seen everything we've just seen. People don't, and they're going to say, well, if you're silent, then you're allowing it to happen. You're allowing it to happen. You're causing someone to have a bunch. What you don't understand, in the world we live in, you're making them 10 times more famous. A million people that would have never heard of this guy, that would have never heard anything he had to say, are now hearing it because of you. But nobody understands the strategy of communication in 2017.
Here's the thing that really blows my mind. And of course, I'm coming from an angle of, like, I absolutely despise Milo Yiannopoulos, because I never knew about this guy up until about 2 months ago, and I found out that he makes a living.
I've known about him for like 2 years, yeah, because I watch him. He used to make the rounds, and say, I watch Sky News a lot and a lot of UK stuff, and he would always like show up on the UK stuff just running his mouth. And like, yeah, and he always, and he looked like Sick Boy from Trainspotting. If you've ever seen Trainspotting, I'm like,
yeah,
Sick Boy doing on TV. This is, yeah, crazy.
You actually introduced me to him. You sent me something about him, and I'm like, well, who is this guy? I looked, and I'm like, okay, I found out about a few months ago, and I found out that he makes a living off of making demonizing refugees and immigrants who are, you know, the most marginalized people on this planet.
It didn't start that way. It became that way when he found out, because again, he's an opportunist and a very, 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 very terrible one, because he's willing to seize on anybody's horrible things. But he found out that's what people ran with, just like Trump, and the exact same thing. That's the thing. We need to look at culture. They're saying crazy stuff, and what sticks, they run with.
Yeah, yeah. They sling mud against the wall, and whatever sticks, they run with it.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, to be fair, he was, in the very early days, he was hilarious, because here he was, a gay British dude.
That doesn't mean people should follow his ideas. That doesn't mean that he's some sort of prophet. It doesn't mean that he should be anybody's leader.
Oh, he was no sort of prophet. He was a great comedian at best. And I honestly, when I first read his stuff, like his early tweets, I honest to God thought he was trolling.
He still is. It's a post-satire culture. Now, that's why I keep saying it's a post-satire culture.
I'll tell you
it's
what.
It's all a joke, dude.
I'll tell you what.
Fake people causing real conversation.
I'll tell you what. Now, I was not a fan of Milo when I first learned about him. I became even less of a fan when I found out he was trying to get students to snitch on immigrants. And I became even less of a fan when I found out he was talking
kindly.
That's
a sleazy idea.
When I found out he was talking kindly about men having a relationship with boys, I thought even less of him. But I'll tell you what. If the government came along and told Milo, hey, bro, we're going to fine you $100 a day until you retract what you said about boy love, I would be his first defender.
Right.
I shit you not. I would defend that guy as much as I can't stand his guts. But it's not a matter of free speech with Milo. The people that shut him down at Berkeley were other private citizens shutting him down by exercising their own free speech. It was not the government that shut him down. Has nothing to do with free speech.
Oh, no, it has nothing to do with it.
Now, on the other side of the coin, this story about this interracial couple who left the N-word on their garage door because they wanted to leave it up there as a message, that was free speech, and the government is coming down on them. They are having their free speech violated blatantly, and these mother effers that are going around talking about free speech are not saying shit about this story. I hate this. Should be a big story, well, not Milo.
It's not a big story. I'm going to tell you why it's not a big story. You need to tell them.
Well, it's a big story for us. It's on the anti-media, and because we fucking give a shit about
it. You're right, but it's not a big story in mainstream culture because you need to tell these people to get a sassy attitude, get a Twitter account, troll some people, get some expensive sunglasses, and look. That is what sells. Donald Trump is the president. People need to get this through their head. We are past what any... We're in a completely different world now. The craziest...
Say the Jim Morrison thing, dude. You might as well just say it, dude.
I have said that for quite a while.
Dude. We're in a post-fucking reality...
We are. And that's the thing. It's only people. Here's what needs to. What did I tell you? This is to me my perfect scenario for what we have in front of us right now to have real change. I would have Ron Paul be the president, and I would have, yes, I'm going to say it, Donald Trump be his press secretary.
Dennis Kucinich as a secretary of defense.
But no, I would want Trump in there because he's a lunatic. And you're not going to get your message across in 2017 unless you're a lunatic.
Yeah. Crazy times call for crazy
That's
characters,
it.
Apparently.
That's it. And at least that way you'd have somebody, you know, trying to do the right thing steering this guy, which is clearly an out-of-control ship going straight into the harbor.
We're going to have to do a lot more yelling and screaming on our radio show to get attract some more listeners.
Well, I've always said that. Look. If you want listeners, you just start screaming at people. Don't believe me? What about Alex Jones? Exactly my point.
Nick, to be fair, I do my part to try to stir him up every chance I get.
So. Look, why is Fox News the most popular? Because they scream at each other.
To give myself some credit here, on my show on Mondays and Wednesdays, we're trying to bring together actual intellectuals to scream at each other. And to actually,
and you're gonna have the smartest
about some like legit ideas.
You're gonna have the smartest audience in the world, all 10 of them.
you know, Milo is the kind of guy who's going up there and screaming and yelling about something that is just it's not a philosophical argument. It's not an intellectual argument. It's demagoguery.
It's emotional.
It's appealing to the literally the most basic instinct. The most basic emotional heartstrings of people, and it literally has become like an anti-intellectual movement. And think of it, CPAC invited this guy. This is like the premier conservative gathering.
Yeah, that is
gathering.
Pretty bonkers. In fairness, that was pretty nuts.
That's crazy.
And it does kind of make sense, the right went after him.
It's idiocracy, dude. Like,
oh, yeah.
Our culture has devolved into... How can we get some flamboyant gay dude to make everyone think it's cool to hate people?
The Republican Party, for sure, more than anybody, even more than Democrats at this point, the Republican Party like sees that idiocracy has fallen down onto their party. Donald Trump is in charge of it, and Milo is about to be the keynote speaker.
Donald Camacho Trump.
Yeah, and in fairness to them and their what they did, you know, releasing all this stuff on Milo, which you said, it's not, you know, whatever, but... They're trying to fight this. Culture's taking us there, though, and them fighting it is only going to make this worse.
We're heading in a direction of more idiocracy, not less.
It's like one of those finger traps, okay? The more you fight with the finger trap, the more stuck it's going to get.
Yeah.
You got to just realize what's going on here, take your time, be patient, and you'll finally get your fingers loose.
Yeah.
But the more you just struggle and fight with it, it's just gonna get worse.
Yeah, and like with Milo, man, like he lost his venue at Breitbart. He probably won't be allowed in colleges anymore, but he's gonna sell more books than ever.
He's gonna sell a bazillion books. And people came out. The thing that's crazy is I understand people having political beliefs, and even if you want to, let's just say you're somebody that wants to ban every Muslim, everybody. Whatever, I can see you defending, but to come out and defend somebody for saying, like, they've defended what he said, that's nuts they defended what he said.
Gone a little too far.
But that goes to show you that there's complete blinders. That's it for us. What is today, Tuesday?
Tuesday, February what, 21st?
Yeah, we'll be back. Nick will be here tomorrow night. I think Jake's coming up next. We'll be back on Thursday, me and Shannon. For Shannon Madden, Nick Burnaby, Anti Media Radio, I'm SM Gibson. Out. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.